For decades, manufacturers have been deserting small towns, sucking out the lifeblood as they depart. But Taumarunui is bucking this trend thanks to a pet food factory that started full-time production this year. Our reporter Jimmy Allingham takes a look around.
25 years ago, the meatworks, a couple of kilometres from Taumarunui, closed, seemingly for good, devastating the local economy. But the former site has a new lease of life as King Country Pet Food after a $90 million upgrade and 3 years setting up.
All our raw materials come in by truck. We've got tankers for the tallow silos. We've got a weighbridge over here, so trucks weigh in, weigh out. And this is our tipping hall where we tip all our raw materials like pulses, meat meals and the likes in bulk trucks.
That's King Country Pet Food's General Manager of Commercial, Gareth Stillman, who shows me around the site where about 60 people are now employed, and that will rise. The plant produces dry pet food for various brands made from New Zealand ingredients, and they'll be on sale here and around the world.
Well, it's very technical because you're actually feeding an animal a complete and balanced diet, so they've got to eat that for the rest of their life and know that they've got the right nutrition. So it's all about nutrition. It's, 10 times more complicated than human food.
So why Taumarunui?
Taumarunui is sort of in the middle of everywhere, in the middle of nowhere. So you're sort of 3 hours from any hub, and 2 to 3 hours from any hub. And a lot of the raw material was grown around the Taumarunui region. So it's reasonably centralised.
Most of the pet food heading for export goes to the Napier and Tauranga ports. China is the biggest market. King Country Pet Food is owned by Chinese giant Paidy Corporation, which has plans for the Taumarunui site to capitalise on the ever-growing global demand for pet food.
It's definitely not fly-by-night. They're very invested for the long term, and they are talking long term all the time. So it's very good for Taumarunui, and they're very good people to work for.
Mr. Stillman himself has moved to the district, as have many factory staff. Others, like Health, Safety and Environment Coordinator Shayla McCormick, live in the region and appreciate the presence of a big employer.
I was working seasonal work, so I was knapsack spraying in the high country, and I did a season forestry planting in the winter to make up that time. Being able to have a full-time job and secure full-time job is excellent.
Through work, Ms. McCormick is studying part-time towards a diploma in health and safety, something not previously possible for her in the district.
The rural aspect of the area that we live in makes a lot of that work seasonal, as we were speaking about. We left the area when I was a small child, as the industries had theoretically collapsed. We went to Huntly for the mining.
Ruapehu District Mayor Weston Curtin says the factory brings a lot of activity to the town, giving it an economic fillip.
It's 25 years since we've had a freezing works, which closed in 1999, I think, and there was 150 jobs that went down the gurgler, and I was a mayor at the time, and that was devastating for the economy here. 25 years later, I'm actually the mayor, when we see something like this open, there's 120 jobs and a huge operation there.
Mr. Stillman says the factory has overcome COVID delays, and there are some challenges about operating near a town of just 5,000 people.
The labour pool is not as good as it could be. The thing is that people know we're here now, and we are getting a lot of people coming in, moving back to Taumarunui, and we can employ them because we're going to need about 120 people when we're fully up and running.
The plant includes a high-spec extrusion machine which basically presses the biscuits into shape, modern technology filling the former meatworks.
This is our plasma odour control unit. All the air, which is about 120,000 cubic metres, litres an hour, go through this plasma system.
At the moment, on one shift, 5 days a week, the plant can produce 10 tonnes an hour, so 400 a week. It will, in coming years, make 40,000 tonnes a year, introducing a second shift.
And that was Jimmy Allingham reporting. Donald Trump's hush money trial is drawing in crowds from far and wide, with many hoping to get a coveted courtroom seat. Some people are even paying line sitters to wait hours on their behalf. CNN's Bryn Gingras has this report.
5:30 a.m. and in the shadow of the Manhattan Criminal Courthouse, a line.
What time did you get here?
12:30 a.m.
What? I was here before 4.
More than 100 people hoping for a coveted seat inside the Trump trial.
I mean, it's the first time in history that a president has been, brought through this process. That's very historic.
Usually no more than 12 members of the public get inside the courtroom where Trump is just yards away. Those are the green ticket holders, awarded to the first few in line.
I've been here since 11 p.m. last night.
So you haven't slept?
What sleep?
He is a professional line holder, making roughly $50 an hour to stand here and guarantee his client entry.
Since this whole thing started, we've been getting calls constantly, and we've been here almost every day.
Joseph Waldbaum is a retired criminal defense attorney. He's been here all week.
I went to REI and bought this, and I also bought this, a tush kush, because those wooden benches are brutal.
You're now very prepared.
Yes. The most prepared one online, I think. And I could sell both of these for a hefty profit.
There are more seats available in the overflow room. This golden ticket gets about 24 more people into a room located down the hall from the proceedings. There, boxes on large TV screens show the judge, lawyers, Trump, and witnesses like Stormy Daniels.
It's like watching a soap opera.
I'm fascinated by the whole thing and just wanted to see the people, the characters.
Hamilton Clancy and his wife Karen came to court Tuesday.
This is my birthday wish. I mean, it's here in New York. We're here in New York. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Who wouldn't want to be here? It's democracy in action.
Those here say the wait goes quickly, either with a good book, coffee, or friendly debate.
It's a fake trial, and I can't believe that they do this. They're doing this to him.
It's fine to disagree, and there's so much more to the trial.
Like more testimony, Michael Cohen, possibly Trump himself. This line expected to only get longer.
If you're partial to a cheeky vino on a Friday night, then this might be a story for you. There is too much wine in the world. Can you believe it? Grape growers and winemakers globally are producing more than is being consumed. But for Australia, the glut is not great. It's struggling to recover after being locked out of the Chinese market for 3 years because of a trade war. Now the industry is looking for some help in the country's budget next week so some growers can rip up their vines and get out of the industry. The ABC's Kat Sullivan reports.
Across Australia's bulk wine grape growing regions, excavators are removing vines.
It's a crying shame because they were beautiful vines, but you can't keep working for nothing.
At Yenda in southern New South Wales, grower Peter Cremasco has pulled out more than 80 hectares of red wine grapes.
Yeah, they were good producing vines, but at $150 a tonne, 4 tonne to the acre, 2 and 2 don't make 4.
It's a far cry from the $600 per tonne that growers were receiving for grapes before China slapped huge tariffs on Australian wine in 2020. The tariffs were removed at Easter this year, but there's been a change in people's drinking habits. A new report from the International Organisation of Vine and Wine shows consumption rates globally have fallen